Hello, everybody. So we just heard about the Best Baby Zone initiative and each of the sites, and heard how unique each of the sites' work is, as well as how important the national initiative is. So the charge for the evaluation is to capture this important work, and as well as the work being done at the national level. So as we said, my name is Kim Dorman, and I've been working on this evaluation. I've had the pleasure and honor to work on this evaluation for the last 2 years. But before I get going, I just wanted to give a shout out to my colleagues. Calista Blay, are you here? No. And Lauren Stein, who's in the audience, as well as Justine, Marcus, and Janine Spotness, who are not here in person, but helped a lot. So I have been a consultant for the Best Baby Zone. And that is my disclosure. So, evaluating the Best Baby Zone. How many people here have been involved in work similar to what we've been describing today? So, place-based, cross-sector, collective impact. Okay, great, that's helpful. And how many people have been involved in evaluating a project like this, the cross-sector? Oh, great. Okay, so I'm very curious to hear from you later. We'll be asking you questions. So the question where we begin is, where do you begin in this evaluation endeavor? How do you structure an evaluation to capture the progress and the effects of the work in a comprehensive but meaningful way? Do you begin with each zone? Do you try to tap all community members or those only participating in services? What evaluation questions do you ask and to whom? How do you capture the successes and what's worked and what can be improved? These are some of the kind of guiding questions that we began with. We chose an adaptive evaluation approach that prioritizes learning throughout the evaluation. Our developmental evaluation is structured to inform both the initiative strategy as well as the program development at the sites, as we heard. The evaluation emphasizes the collaboration at each step, and we made sure to include all of the partners in the development of the evaluation framework. How many of you were at the Cincinnati All-Site meeting in 2014 and helped think through some of the evaluation components? Yeah. And finally, we considered the elements of collective impact and included them in the evaluation as well. So where did we start? We started with defining shared goals, those that we would imagine seeing come to fruition at approximately 10 years or beyond. These were greatly informed by the original grant proposal. And then we developed an overall menu of long-term measures that we anticipated wouldn't come to fruition for at least 7 to 10 years. I'm not going to talk through all these, but I wanted you to see that there's a range of measures that we're working with. And the goals and measures are connected through a theory of change that includes a life course perspective, as we heard, and determinants of health that represent progressive change and the underpinnings of the work. Here we see the intermediate measures or outcomes for the 4 to 7 year range. These are related mostly to the services that the sites were offering or were hoping to offer. And these are additional important 4 to 7 year measures. So I wanted to give you the range and include all of them here. And pause for a moment on the foundational measures. So the first six here, well, I guess I'll start by saying these are the measures that we determined and identified as crucial for setting the work up for success. So what really do you start with and what do you look for in order to build the rest of this incremental work? The first set of measures, the site-specific strategies, the action-oriented approach, participation in BBZ programs, saturation of services, referrals and coordination, strong relationships, These measures really focused on the work at the site level. The national work, the kinds of measures that we were tracking at the national level focused on increasing understanding of social determinants of health and providing extensive backbone support. All of these measures were identified in close collaboration with the entire team, so all of the BBZ partners. So to evaluate the first 3 years, we created a data dashboard, conducted a community survey and key leader interviews, and developed site profiles. So the data dashboard was designed to present national measures collected at the zone level. And example measures include a reduction of premature births, improvement of child academic success, and increasing household income. What did we learn? That it's possible to establish baseline measures at the zone level, as well as for the initiative. And this is actually really important. It was a lot of work to identify the measures, and we weren't really sure if we were going to be able to create this baseline of the key measures that we had identified. But we also found that because the zones are so small, that data are not always possible to collect at the zone level because of confidentiality issues. And I'm seeing a lot of nods, so it sounds like there are some folks in the room who understand that. Overall, we confirmed that it's very important to continue tracking these measures, the dashboard measures, and so this will be happening in year four as the initiative moves forward. So each zone distributed surveys to community members within the boundaries of the zone. An example outcomes that we were tracking with the survey included participation in BBZ programs, building a social movement, and increasing racial equity. What did we learn from these data? That service saturation will take time. We've heard this, but we confirmed this. And that service utilization data is really important to collect. And with these data determined that now that the sites are up and running in a more comprehensive way, that we can do that now. We also confirmed that building a social movement, as we've heard, and increasing racial equity, obviously, is a slow process. And so it's important to continue tracking as that work happens. So when asked about opportunities for resident leadership and engagement, 58% said that they work with others to make their neighborhood a better place. And 45% said there were opportunities to be a leader in their neighborhood. We also found that only 18% had heard of BBZ previously. So these are examples of the kind of information that we established as baseline, and these data helped inform zone-specific strategies as well as the national strategy moving forward. Here we see that as a result of participating in BBZ programs, that residents indicated that they were better able to meet the needs of their families and felt more connected to their neighborhood. So in order to find out more about the specific effects of program participation in year four, the evaluation will be focusing on a post-participation survey, including that. So what did we learn from the key leader interviews? How crucial and important the role the backbone agency is overall, and the role that it plays in so many ways, but in particular in helping to shape a shared agenda. So the shared agenda, you might recall, is one of the main elements of collective impact. And those interviews absolutely described in great detail how important the role of the backbone agency has been in this work at the site level and also at the national level. And for year four, the evaluation will include a partnership survey. And that survey will reach out to additional partners, BBZ partners at the zone level and the national level, to track work across sectors and to track progress with other collective impact elements. The site profiles demonstrated that sharing evaluation findings can be an important way to engage community members at the site level. It also helped to document and share learnings across sites. We had a lot of opportunity to talk with the sites and share their expertise and lessons learned across to help inform local work. And for year four, the evaluation will use a site-specific data tracker and post-participation survey to track community engagement, among many other things, into the future. So overall, we saw a number of successes, including the benefits of close collaboration between the Best Baby Zone team and the evaluation, ensuring that the evaluation stayed relevant, and that it's important to share evaluation findings to inform program strategy and the national strategy. And challenges included discovering that the zone level data was often difficult to get, and determining the best way to track incremental change related to racial equity and social movement building. We're still working on those measures. So in sum, the evaluation findings help to lift up what's working at the zone level, for example, by confirming the importance of resident leadership and engagement and identifying the importance of service saturation. It also helped to facilitate learning across sites by documenting and sharing engagement strategies across the zones and confirming the long-term commitment to building a social movement and increasing equity. It also, the findings helped to inform the national strategy, specifically related to the future of the BBZ technical assistance activities by the Backbone Agency, and helping to spark reflection about the theory of change and progress at the site and initiative level. So in the spirit of developmental evaluation, the evaluation findings from the first years informed the next iteration and will ensure that the evaluation continues to be meaningful and useful and action-oriented. And I thank you.
Excellent. I'd like to thank all of our presenters and actually call the team back up. We have a fair bit of time available, which is wonderful, for all of you to be able to ask questions of any or all of our participants. So don't be shy. Very important, impactful work. Yes?
Hi, I'm interested in the changes for the clinics that Dr. Greenberg mentioned, how to be more welcoming as a former community clinic manager. What do you mean, like appointments at 7 o'clock at night, or don't have a taxi, or can you be more specific about that? After your
visit? We initially engaged two groups separately of women, you know, patients who might come and staff to hear about how they kind of felt about each other. And it was really quite interesting because, you know, it was a lot of they do this and they do the other. And some of the interventions that have been successful was changing not just the structure and availability of appointments, but something called safety access. So the old approach was women actually quite frequently came in to see, find out if they were pregnant, and would be told, congratulations, you are pregnant, we can see you in 2 weeks. And the elopement rate was about, 50 or 60%, even more than some months. So right off the bat, we initiated a program in which a woman could come in and with a guarantee that she'd be seen within an hour of the positive pregnancy test by a provider. Now you can imagine what the staff thought about that. That is absolutely never going to happen. So what we did is we kind of started a test. You know, we used a QA method for PDSAs. We started a test with one patient. So let's try with just one. And right now I didn't show you the data, but depending on the month, same-day access is working somewhere between 60 and 90% of the time. And that's a really exciting piece of it. We also are Priscilla is done, but we're doing makeovers through Cradle Cincinnati, makeovers of every clinic in the city. So we have a team of people from the University of Cincinnati's design our architecture program, and we raised money to support total revamp of these clinics. And we've had incredibly positive feedback about that. So these are actually don't look like, fascist functional architecture. Sorry, I don't mean that so much. They are really gorgeous, and if I had more time and so on, I'd show you what the Presto Hall Center looks like now. We have a specific theme around that women are queens and in charge of their lives. Since today it's called the Queen City, so it kind of makes sense. That's progressing along as well. We're also doing a lot of work with tracking in the clinic so we can identify when a woman is off the follow-up and working with either the mom's club or the block-by-block if it happens to be Priscilla or other providers to find who they are.
Great. I saw a hand here. Yes.
So we do centering at Price Hill, and not all of the other sites, but several. And actually, that clinic happens to be designed in such a way that there's a space to do centering, which is why it happens there. There's a couple of other sites where centering takes place. You know, centering is really interesting if there's a certain body of evidence indicating that it has real value. The trick is to try and connect the women for whom it is valuable to that program. Because there's actually another group of women for whom it probably isn't very valuable, who aren't able to make those appointments and so on and so forth. There's data, for example, that African American women are less able to make the appointments compared to Latina women and so on. So we have to get that right in order to make that program work in a way. Yes, exactly.
The question is, hyper stores, when you're able to do a walk-in visit spontaneously, but you don't yet have coverage from the pregnancy, how are you handling that?
It is through consumptive eligibility, as I understand it, convinced that this clinic and several others that I refer to are managed by the Cincinnati Health Department. So our city health department does direct health care service provision. They've agreed to go with that approach. Does it work? Some of the women, there's a process for which they can get signed up. When they get part of this same-day access process, some of them want to wait, and that's why we're not 100%, at least one of the reasons why. But, I don't want to give you the impression that we cracked the code and it's perfect, but, we went from zero to a significant number who are able to get access now, so we're very excited about that.
Phenomenal. We can change practice to accommodate women.
The staff actually really wanted to do it, even though they said no way, no how, because they actually really care about the women and families that they serve. They're just, it's the usual, overworked over this, over that. So we had to listen to them very carefully as well.
Great. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Yes. This is for Kim, and I think it's fantastic the evaluation of Susan Till 10 years ago. So the question I had was, based upon this mattering of socio
what level they're, I wouldn't say at the level that we are, because that requires collecting specific data from the individuals who are being served, it creates a lot of challenges. So we started with tracking measures that we could either collect at the county level, the zone level, right? And then also we're working on a post-participation survey that might consider elements like this, so self-reported trauma. Mm-hmm. And we're in the draft phase of that post-participation survey, I believe. So elements like that, I think, could be self-reported, so quite possibly.
It's not that we were unaware of the ACEs in the community, and I think each zone staff are certainly interacting with families and kids and adults, you know, who are, who I think would offer good information about adverse childhood experiences, but because of the level at which we're working and the because of the level at which we're working and the confidentiality issues and the way in which we're doing our work, which is more at the macro level versus the individual level, we understand the intersection and the interaction between those adverse childhood experiences that people in the community have experienced and their health outcomes, and we're trying to elevate the work so that it's not so much at the individual level of change, but really at the community level of change to try to improve the life course and life factors.
Great. I saw another hand over here. Yes, in the black sweater. Yes, the question basically is getting at, for each of the sites as well as at the national level, what are the future plans for building in sustainability mechanisms to keep these initiatives going that may go beyond the philanthropic? Because we all know in our lives as researchers what happens sometimes when grants end, very effective programs end, and that would be a real shame in this case.
So I'll stand up to answer that question. Thanks. Kim. So currently we are working with each of the zones to develop their local funding to really leverage the funding from Kellogg to identify and work with local foundations to really bring funding into the existing program. And at the same time, the work that we've started has really been focused on institutionalizing this work so that whether it's through Healthy Start or through a public health department or through a local hospital or perhaps even a community development corporation, that the ongoing work that will happen with regard to Best Baby Zone eventually over time will become institutionalized within the community infrastructure. I will say that in the past year, the Castlemont site received $1.5 million from a local foundation, from the San Francisco Foundation, for 3 years of funding based on the community market work, the East Oakland Innovators, and other efforts that they had undertaken for Best Baby Zones. Our New Orleans site is just going to be the recipient of some funds from the Kresge Foundation for another year of their work while we help them to develop a local sustainability plan. And through Price Hill, the work of Best Baby Zone is being folded into the Cradle Cincinnati work that Jim mentioned that was launched in 2013. That is a much broader county effort, but that will include still at the Price Hill level some of the work that Best Baby Zone has done. So that's the effort at the zones that's currently taking place. And at the national level, we are working with several foundations to develop what we're calling a Best Baby Zone Technical Assistance Center, where we'll be providing technical assistance to projects and programs around the country that have infant mortality or preterm birth or prematurity as a focus, and would like to begin to utilize some different approaches and bring our multi-sector learnings to that table. And there's something else I was going to say. It just left my mind. Bummer. Okay, well, sorry.
We still have 5 minutes. So if it pops into your head.
All right, off the tab.
Oh, that was your question? Yes.
So I'm in Dayton, Ohio, and we're doing strategic planning at the county and the health authority and in the hospitals. We're all trying to align our strategic goals, which is great. And there's a lot of interest in a place-based approach, such as the Best Baby Zone. And before we dive into this head first, are there any words of wisdom that any of you would like to share on, I wish I knew this before we got started, or you really need to think about this before we jump into this, because you really are interested in doing this.
Who wants to take that one?
So, the one thing I would say is really, 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 and you know, there are a lot of areas of the city that have high needs. This works if you align yourself in the zone with those assets, right? And so the Hollywood neighborhood is the very new neighborhood that has some assets. It didn't have all the assets that you would like to have to make that work, and some of that is, you know, we have things that are on the boundaries of the neighborhood, like a school that was just being built and several things like that, and technically we're not in the zone. But what we've done for our new money that are coming in and our sustainability was to build this with our Healthy Start program, so that we knew that that became a source of funding for a while, but that we've expanded that zone to match the Healthy Start zone, so that we are getting the full impact of what we can do. And so the fact that our school has been built in that area and we can guarantee college in that school, the fact that Dave University now is part of what we're including in that zone, gives the university, not that they wouldn't participate in it, but not even stay there in New York or not. Right? And that kind of gives us a little more interest for money to involve and do. So be really thoughtful when you put together about what that zone looks like so that you get the full impact of all the assets to meet the needs that need to be there. And then you want that to deal with what it's going to do.
Maybe I can add 1 minute.
You sure?
Just 30 miles down the road, so for me. And that is that the zonal approach has extraordinary strength because of the granularity with which you can understand and learn about what the real drivers of infant mortality are in the region. I think from the very beginning, as soon as you identify your zone, and Charlotte's right on it, there's all the things that you need to think about. You need to think about all the other places in your geography. All of those funders, all of those stakeholders are not necessarily going to be solely focused on a single zone. And they're going to lose interest if they don't understand how it's relevant to a broader geography. I think paying attention to a broader geography also has an importance. You've heard Kim talk about some of the challenges about using a really small geography to evaluate. And, you know, again, strengths and weaknesses. So it's having that broad strategy from the very, very beginning that I think is really the most powerful.
Yeah, Jessica. Jessica's got one more comment that we want to add before we let you go.
Thank you. I just wanted to add how important it is to work in partnership, first of all, because even though it is our jurisdiction zone, we don't live in the zone. Our health department is not in the zone. So we couldn't do this work without the partners that aren't in the zone. And secondly, how important it is to ground truth the data. Data, we spent a lot of time looking at the data in our health department. We have a lot of data. But I think the human-centered design, frankly, given the We were just in the zone for 12 weeks, talking to neighbors, talking to community organizations, really nonstop 12 weeks, to see if the data that we saw with empathy should be is really what the community members wanted as well. Because, you know, we went with the momentum, what the partners wanted, but what are the people in the zone that live there and that are experiencing daily life there? And that was really, and we continue to try to keep doing that with our East Oakland Innovators Program and, you know, what is it that the community really wants to work? Because our hope is like sustainability. But at a certain point, we're going to step out of the zone, and then we want to make sure what we've planted is strong and robust and will continue even when we're not working there anymore.
And Kim has one last comment for us.
Well, it's similar to this. I would just make sure that any evaluation that you do is in strong collaboration with the team and includes even community members on the ground in a way. We piloted all of our tools, and I just think that in order to make sure that the data is relevant and action-oriented, it has to be in collaboration with all.
Wonderful. I would like you all to join me in giving our presenters a great round of applause.